नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो एंटाइटल्ड क्रिएशन चैप्टर नंबर 10 Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka. Text number 4. Kamam Vavarsha Parjanyaha Sarva Kama Dugha Mahi Sishi Chuhu स्म व्रजान गावन गावह पयसोद खतिर मुद्दा पयसोद स्वतीर मुदा कामं ववर्ष पर्जन्यः सर्व काम दुधा मही शिशी चुहुस्म व्रजान कावन पयसोद स्वतीर मुदा कामं ववर्ष पर्जन्यः सर्व काम दुघा मही शिशी चुस्म व्रजान गावः पयसोध स्वतीर मुदा कामं ववर्ष पर्जन्यः सर्व काम दुघामही शिशी चुस्म व्रजान गावः पयसोध स्वतीर मुदा शिशी चुस्म व्रजान गाव पयसोध स्वतीर मुदा कामं ववर्ष पर्जन्य सर्व काम दुदामहि
Mataji's.
Synonyms, kamam, everything needed. Vavarsha, was showered. Parjanyaha, rains. Sarva, everything. Kama, necessities. Dugha, producer. Mahi, the land. Sishichusma, moisten. Vrajan, pasturing grounds. Gavaha, the cow. Payasa udhasvatihi, due to swollen milk bags. Muda, because of a joyful attitude. Translation and purport by Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada Ki. The translation. During the reign of Maharaj Yudhishthir, the clouds showered all the water that people needed, and the earth produced all the necessities of man in profusion. Due to its fatty milk bag and cheerful attitude, the cow used to moisten the grazing ground with milk. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The basic principle of economic development is centered about land and cows. The necessities of human society are food, grains, fruits, milk, minerals, clothing, wood, etc. One requires all these items to fulfill the material needs of the body. Certainly one does not require flesh and fish or iron tools and machinery. During the regime of Maharaj Yudhishthir, all over the world there were regulated rainfalls. Rainfalls are not in the control of the human being. The heavenly king Indradev is the controller of rains, and he is the servant of the Lord. When the Lord is obeyed by the king and the people under the king's administration, there are regulated rains from the horizon, and these rains are the causes of all varieties of production on the land. Regulated rains not only help ample production of grains and fruits, but when they combine with astronomical influences, there is ample production of valuable stones and pearls. Grains and vegetables can sumptuously feed a man and animals, and a fatty cow delivers enough milk to supply a man sumptuously with vigor and vitality. If there is enough milk, enough grains, enough fruit, enough cotton, enough silk, and enough jewels, then why do the people need cinemas, houses of prostitution, slaughterhouses, etc.? What is the need of an artificial luxurious life of cinema, cars, radio, flesh, and hotels? Has this civilization produced anything but quarreling individually and nationally? Has this civilization enhanced the cause of equality and fraternity by sending thousands of men into a hellish factory and the war feels at the whims of a particular man? It is said here that the cows used to moisten the pasturing land with milk because their milk bags were fatty and the animals were joyful. Do they not require, therefore, proper protection for a joyful life by being fed with sufficient quantity of grass in the field? Why should men kill cows for their selfish purposes? Why should man not be satisfied with grains, fruits, and milk, which combined together can produce hundreds and thousands of palatable dishes? Why are there slaughterhouses all over the world to kill innocent animals? Maharaj Parikshit, grandson of Maharaj Yudhishthir, while touring his vast kingdom, saw a black man attempting to kill a cow. The king at once arrested the butcher and chastised him sufficiently. Should not a king or an executive head protect the lives of the poor animals who are unable to defend themselves? Is this humanity? Are not the animals of a country citizens too? Then why are they allowed to be butchered in organized slaughterhouses? Are these signs of equality and fraternity or nonviolence? Therefore, in contrast with the modern advanced civilized form of government, an autocracy like Maharaj Yudhishthira's is by far superior to so-called democracy, in which animals are killed and a man less than an animal is allowed to cast votes for another less than animal man. We are all creatures of material nature. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the Lord Himself is the seed-giving father, and material nature is the mother of all living beings in all shapes. Thus, mother material nature has enough foodstuffs both for animals and men, by the grace of the Father, Almighty Sri Krishna. The human being is the elder brother of all other living beings. He is endowed with intelligence more powerful than animals for realizing the course of nature and the indications of the Almighty Father. Human civilizations should depend on the production of material nature without artificially attempting economic development to turn the world into a chaos of artificial greed and power only for the purpose of artificial luxuries and sense gratification. This is but the life of dogs and hogs. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ओम अज्ञानते मरांदस ज्ञानांजन शलाक्या चक्षुरुन्मिलितम येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः. श्री चैतन्य मनोभिष्टम स्थापितम येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामयम तदाति स्वपदांतिकम. वंदेहम श्री गुरु श्रीयुत पद कमलम श्री गुरुन वैष्णवांश्च श्री रूपम सागरजातम सहगण रघुनाथान्वितम तम सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च. नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने. नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. So it's very amazing and very heavy purport by Srila Prabhupada. But we can clearly see how true it is. Like even in those days, like 45 years back, when Prabhupada was here, 1970s, one time when taking a walk, you know, Srila Prabhupada, he was, one of his disciples actually said, Srila Prabhupada, look at this jet aeroplane that is flying, and it was flying from a very, you know, close to the earth, and it looked very big. And this disciple said, Prabhupada, doesn't it appear that the man, this modern scientific progress, has conquered material nature? So that time Prabhupada immediately said that, what are you talking about? As soon as the fuel is finished in that aeroplane, it will come down immediately. And who is giving the fuel to that aeroplane? So ultimately, Prabhupada is mentioning that all the scientific advancement ultimately depends on the material nature. Like no way that we can produce something, not even a drop of water or just, you know, a grain that can be manufactured by the scientists in a laboratory without any help of the material nature. Without taking any ingredients, you cannot manufacture anything. And, you know, nowadays, these modern scientists, they claim that we can conquer death. Very soon we can produce new species that we have never seen before. One of the one spiritual guru in India, he has recently become famous, and for a wrong reason, that he's become a talk of the town, but he is actually, you know, being a laughing stock, because he started saying that this scientific advancement can even, you know, we can produce the monkeys to talk. We can make use of their vocal cords. We can put the vocal cords of man to a monkey and the monkey will start talking. Or he said that a cat has extraordinary ability to, you know, see something in the dark. So we can harness that ability and combine the human vocal cords, linguistic, whatever, abilities. So he was speaking something like that. But people just made fun of that person, because even common people know that it's not possible. But, you know, sometimes even so-called spiritualists, they make funny statements. The point is, it happens because they are not connected to proper source of knowledge. That means parampara. Parampara is very important. That means the knowledge must come unadulterated, directly from Krishna, who is the source of knowledge. So from Krishna, the knowledge is being given as it is, without any adulteration. So that is very important. That is called parampara. So because this person is not in any parampara, he started his own parampara, so he became a laughing stock. So that's why it's very important to hear from Prabhupada, because he spoke like 45 years back. Srila Prabhupada has given all this knowledge. And those days, people were so much, you know, they were fascinated that in just next 10 years, maybe modern scientists will bring about something by which the man will be immortal, or we will create new species or something. So it was such a hype in those days, but Prabhupada said it's not possible. And today we see that Prabhupada's words are so perfect. Even this purport is completely, you know, so perfect, we see. And see, Prabhupada wrote this, the first line itself: the basic principle of economic development is centered around land and cows. So it's not about producing constantly, some, you know, keeping on producing stuff that we sometimes don't need. And it all happens because of the leaders. So the leaders of the world, they are the ones, they decide. So that's why in the Shastras, like Mahabharata, it is mentioned that the leader is like a caretaker, father. And the subjects are just like children. If the leader allows something, the children will be spoiled. So that's why it's a very beautiful statement that I found. Srila Prabhupada writes in Bhagavatam 2.9.26, he says, modern day advancement is just like a decoration on a dead body. It is like patching up the perpetual miseries of life. Now, why Prabhupada is mentioning such heavy statement? Because you can clearly see that if the leader is not strong, he is going to allow so many bad things to happen. And such a hypocrisy in today's world that we see, that they sell cigarettes, right? On the packet of the cigarette, it is clearly written that cigarette smoking is injurious to the health. It causes cancer. Still people smoke it. Leaders allow it. And then those same leaders, on the name of charity, they open new hospitals for cancer patients. And then they come to you and ask for votes, because we are doing so much of social service. Such is the hypocrisy. And these leaders protect each other always, because they know that everyone is corrupt. Like, you know, one person gets in trouble because of some scandal, like for corruption or for something he has done, molestation. But other political leaders, sometimes they support that person, you know, behind the doors, because they know that if I don't support him, he will open up my file. It's like I scratch your back, you scratch my back. It's like in India, there are a lot of, at least the place where I stay, there are many donkeys on the street. And the donkeys, when they get a sensation for itching, when they feel itching on their back, they can't reach their back. So what they do is two donkeys come together, and with their mouth, they scratch each other. So that's like, I scratch your back, you scratch my back. So this is really, so that's why the civilization goes down. And Srila Prabhupada, he mentions, modern day advancement gives some temporary relief to forget janma mrutya jara vyadhi, to forget the real miseries of the life, the real problem, janma mrutya jara vyadhi, birth, death, old age and disease. So modern advancement gives only temporary relief. You may get some illusion for some time. For example, it's a real incident. In my place, there was one candidate who was there for election. He was asking for the votes, and he was addressing the public. And he said, if you elect me, I will open 3 more cinema houses. And everybody were clapping, whistling, you know, wow, such amazing leader he is. Then he said, if you elect me, I will open desi wine shops. And people were joyful, dancing. Because he said that, you know, the wine that you make has so much of problems. You know, in the wineries, there used to be accidents and people would get, you know, so many diseases or whatever. So he said, I will open up with modern technology. So people were actually joyful. So this is the modern day leaders that we see, that they know that people are foolish. We just have to make them a bit more fool. It's not a very difficult job. So that's why Prabhupada said, democracy, he said, demon crazy. Because democracy is, people themselves, they don't know who they are. And if they elect someone amongst them, what will they elect? Just somebody like them. That's why in those days, in the Vedic civilization, the king was coming from a royal family. That family was Kshatriya family. Kshatriya means Kshat Trayate Iti Kshatriya. The one who is having that spirit, martial spirit. The one who cannot tolerate injustice. That is called Kshatriya. So that's why they were trained. And that kingdom was actually, the owner were Brahmanas. And Kshatriyas were only the caretakers. And Shudras used to provide for the needs. Vaishyas would provide for all the necessities. And Shudras would serve. That was the proper hierarchy of the society. And that's why you see those kings, they were properly trained from Brahmanas. And at the same time, it's beautiful system that the Kshatriyas cannot do anything unless it is sanctioned by Brahmanas. But Brahmanas, you know, they were learned, so they would give the right advice. But Brahmanas would not hold any position. So there cannot be corruption from Brahmana's side because they are not holding any position. Nor can there be any type of corruption from Kshatriya Varna, because they cannot do anything unless it is approved by Brahman. So that's how there was a balance, and that's why there used to be no corruption in the Vedic tradition. Now the same, in the second canto, ninth chapter, Prabhupada has beautiful purpose on the same line. So Prabhupada mentions, a person who is submerged in sense gratification goes to hell. But the leader or the intelligent person who provides facility for sense gratification goes to a darker, deep darker hell. That's in Upanishad also. That means that people in general, they are already submerged in so-called sense gratification. They may go to hell. But the leader who is providing the type of sense gratification, the one who is making them submerge in illusion, he is more responsible. Now, this can be easily understood. For example, that one person, one butcher, he wants to kill a cow. He may kill one cow, you know, and he is sinful. He is going to go to, anyways, he is going to hell. That is obvious. But a modern day scientist may think that it's very difficult for the butcher to kill cow. Let me invent a machine in which 1,000 cows can be cut in one go. So who is more sinful? The person who is killing only one cow, and the other person who is actually inventing for a large massacre of cows. So that's how Prabhupada is mentioning that they actually, the leaders, they are more responsible, and that's why they have to take larger share of karma. If they are not taking the proper care of the dependents. A person, Prabhupada also mentions that he also, Prabhupada gave beautiful analogy on the same line in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada, in that purport, Mama eva aunsha jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manashashtani indriyani prakruti sthani karshati. Krishna already, he proclaims that I am the seed-giving father. And all the species of life, they are ultimately coming from Krishna. So, that means that any species who is like dependent, the men, the human society, they have intelligence. But all other species, they do not have that much intelligence. That's why they are considered as dependent. Because they are just like a younger brother. Sometimes the elder brother is having more maturity, more knowledge. But the younger brother may be still, you know, childish. Just like that, the animals or the trees or the, you know, aquatics, they are all considered, they should be taken care by the human society, just like a elder brother would take care of the younger one. But right now, opposite is happening, because Prabhupada mentions that the father loves all the children equally. So if you establish that Krishna is the father of everyone, all the living entities, then how can he be happy if that, you know, the humans who are also children of God, they are killing the innocent animals? How can God be happy? So that is also very important to understand. And the father always wants to provide for the children. And mother always likes to cook different type of, you know, eatables for the pleasure of children, right? That's very obvious. We all know this. So Prakriti is considered as the mother. Prakriti, the material nature, is the mother of all living entities. So naturally, her natural tendency is she wants to provide. She wants to give a lot of grains, you know, a lot of different varieties of fruits, different varieties of, you know, spices. And cows, they have a natural tendency to give a lot of milk. That's just their natural behavior. Cows are really very motherly. I have seen with my own eyes, cows, they produce so much milk, and they, many times, they take pleasure when they are being milked by their favorite person. They also have, you know, this person takes a very good care of me. So the cows also have their own mood in which they give nice amount of milk. So if we take nice care of cows, of, you know, all the other animals, naturally the Prakriti the material nature will provide. But you will ask, what is the problem then? Why we don't have much rains? Like we don't see the same thing happening now? It's because the children are rebellious to mother and father. Then mother and father will also want to restrict what they want to give. For example, there was one little child, you know. That time the child, he was very sweet, innocent. So father would always pick him up and keep him on the lap. So one day the father told this little child that, you see, all this entire palace is for you. All my factories are yours. Everything that I have is yours. So the child asked, what about our Mercedes? So that is also yours. Everything that I have is yours because you are my child. So this son had heard this thing. And then the child was growing up. When the child started to go to high school, he got into bad association. And then the father found out that whatever pocket money I am giving my child, he is misusing that pocket money. And he is smoking or doing all kind of nonsense. So the father decided to cut short that pocket money. Previously used to give like $20 a week. Now he just started to give $5. And then the child became so ferocious. And he came to the father and he said, Father, you are a liar. You are a cheater. The father said, how? What have I done? Then the child said, I remember the promise that you made to me long, long back. You said everything belongs to me. And then right now you are not even giving me 20 bucks. So you are a cheater. Then the father said, my dear child, I remember my promise. But actually, if I keep on giving you so much freedom, you may not be alive to fulfill my own promise. By the time I would be happily giving you, giving everything to you, before that day comes, you would die of cancer. So actually I'm trying to fulfill the same promise by restricting your resources. So that's what is happening in today's civilization. We see that material nature, especially in Kali Yuga, she becomes very displeased by the behavior of human society. The behavior such as killing of animals. You know, it's like elder son is constantly beating up the younger son and coming to the father and saying that, like, you know, that I am a good boy. Am I not? So the father is naturally going to be displeased. The same way Krishna and the material nature, they are constantly displeased by the behavior of human society. Now in the Vedic civilization, the king used to be a perfect ideal person. For example, in this case, Yudhishthir Maharaj, he has been described as Ajatashatru. He is the one, he is Sthita Prajna also, equipoised, and he is the one who has no enemies, Ajatashatru. Such a, you know, beautiful personality, Dharmaraj, constantly followed Dharma. He was, you know, very ideal devotee of Lord Krishna. He always satisfied Krishna from all his activities. He always took up very good care of his younger brothers. And Krishna was constantly happy, and that was Krishna's desire. Now, in the same example you can apply here, Krishna could have become the king of the entire world. Was it difficult for Krishna? Not at all. Krishna could have said that, okay, all of you Pandavas, you are going to be at the background. And I'm going to be the king of the entire world. Rajasuya will be performed for me, not for Dharmaraj. But it is Krishna's will, it is Krishna's desire that let my favorite devotee, let my child, let my, you know, that the same example you can extend here. Let Dharmaraj, let Yudhishthir become the king of the entire world because he is very pious. And because of that, he actually, because of Krishna's desire, Krishna is the original father and he wants all the children to have all their share. They should be happy. He wants to give all the necessities and all the enjoyment of life. So that's why Krishna's desire was that Yudhishthir must become the king of the entire world. And because Yudhishthir is so exemplary king, he was very strict also. And that's why in his kingdom, there was no slaughterhouses, there was no killing of animals, and there was severe punishment for anyone who would try to cheat other person. So he was very strict, and that's why people were very disciplined. Most of the people in his kingdom, they were already devotees of Krishna. They were very pious. The minimum class of people in his kingdom has been described as they were sattvastha. That means they were already situated in sattva guna. They were situated in the mode of goodness. And then from there, you know, other people, they were constantly worshipping Krishna. And they were very pious. And because the praja, this, all the people in the kingdom, they were pious, constantly, you know, performing sacrifices, constantly performing deity worship, constantly, you know, trying to utilize all the resources being provided by the material nature, they were engaging all of them in the service of Krishna. So naturally, the mother earth, the mother Prakriti, material nature, was happy. And father Krishna, he was also happy. So that's why they both provided a lot, as much as you want. That's why it is described here that everyone was happy. And everyone was completely satisfied. So that's very important. One time Srila Prabhupada was asked, that Prabhupada, that you always say that, you know, we are going to conquer the world. Krishna consciousness movement, you know, is for the next 10,000 years. And we are going to capture the entire world. When that time comes, we will make you the king of the world. So Prabhupada said, no, that's not my position. Prabhupada said, I will be the advisor to the king. So Prabhupada, he is speaking exactly from the same Vedic tradition. That he means that one person from Kshatriya nature, the one who has, you know, that type of mentality, he will be the king, but I will be the minister, I will be the guru of the king. So all of us who are, you know, disciples of Prabhupada, grand disciples of Prabhupada, followers of Prabhupada, it is our responsibility to make those words of Prabhupada true. You know, in the future, when, you know, all of us, some of us, you know, we will enter all different fields. We already, you know, all the devotees of ISKCON, they are in different, you know, multinational companies, they are big managers, doctors, they are in all type of professions. And later on, our devotees will also be, you know, governors, or they will become the prime ministers or presidents. And when that time comes, the books of Srila Prabhupada, they will become the guide. In a way, Prabhupada will guide those people through his books. So that's our responsibility, to make the words of Srila Prabhupada to come true and to bring about that change in the world that will, you know, make the entire world peaceful and happy again. And that, how can that be achieved? You know, the first step is to improve ourselves. It is said that self-mastery precedes public victory. So before you think about something big, the first step is one should conquer our own mind and senses. And then we can definitely please Srila Prabhupada and we can please Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Yes, Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Thank you for a wonderful class, Prabhu. I have a question about parampara. Okay. So During your class, you very nicely quoted and cited Prabhupada perhaps a dozen times, which was, it was very nice to hear. So Prabhupada's in Parampara, and we recognize or acknowledge that there are disciples of Srila Prabhupada who are initiating, and they're in Parampara. We recognize those initiations as bona fide initiations. Yet at the same time, during classes, it's generally speaking, the speakers don't quote the words of so much or at all of those particular devotees Prabhupada's quoted in classes. So is the way Parampara, practically speaking, going to play out in ISKCON, is that Prabhupada's in Parampara not simply because he's the next, you know, it's like Prabhupada was just happened to be the next after Bhaktisiddhanta, but we're not quoting Prabhupada like you did 12 times, say, in the class, because he's next, but because he's a special prominent acharya. I mean, he's the ISKCON founder acharya, and he's a big acharya. And therefore, is that what's going to happen as time goes on in ISKCON? Like, in other words, in 20 years, 50 years from now, in classes, I mean, the initiations of the disciples and then the grand disciples of Prabhupada will be recognized as bona fide initiations, but the words of Prabhupada will always have more authority than the words of his successors. I think you get the gist of what I'm saying.
See, first of all, Prabhupada's position, we can understand very clearly that Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tar Pravartan. Without Krishna's personal empowerment, no one can make such a change in the world. So Srila Prabhupada is definitely, we can clearly see that his potency. And as the time goes on, you know, gurus will come, you know, different gurus, like in the next generation, next to next, even 50 generations. But the Samsthapakacharya, you know, that is only one position. That can never change within ISKCON. The founder Acharya has to be one. And we see the same happening in other sampradayas also. For example, Ramanujacharya, Sri Vaishnav, right? That is from Lakshmi Devi, right? That is Sri Sampradaya, comes from Lakshmi Devi. Ramanujacharya is considered the most powerful acharya in that line. And there are so many other acharyas who have come. But still, the words of Ramanuja, the words of Ramanujacharya, they are still the most powerful. Nobody can question the words and writing of Ramanujacharya. So definitely, like Prabhupada has given these books, and the words, these books are going to remain. These books will be passed on to next generation. And it is our duty to keep, you know, the sanctity, you know, of Prabhupada's teachings. In our own behavior, we have to also show the same books, you know, in our own behavior. And then the same knowledge will be transferred. And of course, you know, in other sampradayas also, initiations happen the same way. Initiation, you know, that parampara goes on. Like, Diksha Guru, you know, Diksha Guru will always be there. One Diksha Guru for every disciple, that has to be there. But Shiksha Guru, that is very important. Shiksha Guru is the one that enlightens you the most. Diksha Guru is the one you get inspiration from. Diksha Guru is like the practical implementation of what has to be done. And Shiksha Guru gives what is the theoretical, you know, if he is not present. Sometimes Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru can be the same person. You get both from the same person. Especially talking about ISKCON, you, even after, you know, many, many generations, it is a very hard task. It is not an easy job, because just after like 40, 45 years of Prabhupada's disappearance, we have seen so many also problems also within ISKCON. So it's our duty to make the words of Srila Prabhupada come true. That is the biggest offering for Srila Prabhupada that we can give. That we have lived by your words. You know, we have become exemplary, and that will please Srila Prabhupada more than trying to do something that is not the desire of Srila Prabhupada. So that is very important, and that's the desire of Srila Prabhupada, and that is the very hard and tough job that we have to do. That's why it is individual's job. Everyone has to live up to that. If somebody starts to misrepresent ISKCON, or if somebody starts to misrepresent our culture, it's always going to be coming to Srila Prabhupada. They're going to say that, oh, he is the follower of ISKCON. He is the follower of Srila Prabhupada. So that's why the change has to be on the individual level at the first, and then the rest will be ultimately in Krishna's hands.
Thank you.
Any other question? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.